It is such a blessing to be here again this evening. God's done a very rich work in my heart this weekend. He's been so gracious to me. I needed to hear the testimonies today. I needed to. As I've been preaching the Word and sharing from God's heart, I know that God has touched my heart, and I know that He's touched my lips, and I know that Sunday was a day like I have never been in the pulpit in my life. God was working in my heart in ways, and I felt such a presence of God and a power in preaching as I have not ever known since I have spoken the Word of God out of my lips. And I knew that God was drawing near. And He has been, and He is. And I didn't sleep Sunday night hardly, and Monday I got up, and I've been spending a lot of time in fasting. I've been so weak physically. My voice is weak. And I don't know what happened yesterday, but you know, I sensed God speaking to me of His Word, and I was trying to put my thoughts together in the scatteredness of it all, and I came here wanting to represent Jesus Christ, wanting you to hear His heart and His Word. And I believe during the first part of the message you heard the heart of Jesus Christ with His Word. But as I came to the close of the message, somewhere, somehow, in my fallen humanity, I allowed my flesh to get control of the pulpit, and I ask you to forgive me. I have wept and wept and wept today as the Lord has convicted me. I was at the place where I didn't even want to come to prayer meeting this morning because I knew nobody would be here because I violated God's heart in the pulpit. And I honestly didn't think anybody would be here this evening. And if they were, I felt that I put such a heaviness on people's hearts and lives that I gave people a picture of God's heart that was skewed. And I don't want to take away from anything that God's doing in your heart. That was the hardest message I have ever stood to preach because I know that it is God's heart for our day and for us. But it's a message I also know in my own heart that God has dealt with me so graciously. So mercifully, I have not lived up to it myself. God's heart is that all would be on the altar. God's heart is that we would see that we are wealthy, not just wealthy, but we are absolutely filthy rich. And I have had the privilege of living in another country where people aren't wealthy for a year and a half. And as I was there, the reality of how rich I was and how rich I've lived that I didn't even realize became so apparent to me while I was there. I wish so much I would have shared this testimony with you yesterday. I wish with all my heart I had. I regret if I made anybody feel like you were not a Christian because you've struggled in this area or maybe you hadn't seen it clearly. Where I in any way made you feel less or like God was being harsh with you, I ask, please forgive me. I have pled before God because I know with all my heart there at the close of that message, I did not represent the heart of God. His Word is true, but He speaks in a way that my heart was not. I got in my flesh the glory of God that I have sensed. I felt that God was wanting to do something and I feel like I jumped ahead of Him and tried to make something happen last night that wasn't happening, and I violated God's heart. And I'm so glad that He has freed me and forgiven me for that. And I ask you as a congregation to forgive me. As we sat in the Ukraine, my testimony could be that I learned over a year and a half how materialistic I really was. I was sitting in the midst of a people that make $100 or $200 a month. And we were just trying to survive. We didn't know how to live like that. And here we were, and we had stores, and I bought things just like I bought here. And my neighbors would see my garbage, and they would pick stuff out of it. And I threw so much garbage away. I had a cellar that had been dug out. There's no garbage pickup or anything, and you just bury it in a hole. I had more garbage than all my neighbors, and they didn't know what to do with it. And they were concerned when they would see things that they saw value in there, and they would get it out. And I learned that, yes, it was trash to me, but I didn't throw it away anymore, because even if I had a jar of honey that had broken and had glass in it, it didn't belong in the trash. And God has dealt so graciously with me. And I ask you to forgive me. I thank you for your forgiveness. I believe I misrepresented the heart of God last night. And I'd like to open up tonight with a scripture in Psalm 18. There are two scriptures in this chapter. Verse 19, speaking of God, we could go through the whole thing. It's such a beautiful chapter of God's grace and deliverance in the life of David. But it says in verse 19, He brought me forth also into a large place. We've said, Lord, enlarge my heart. But has God brought you into a large place where you were free with God? A large place where you could learn to love Him and serve Him and find His grace sufficient for every need. Oh, it's so wonderful. David said, God brought me into a large place. He was pressed in by the enemy, and God set him free and brought him into a large place. And you say, praise God. But this next half of the verse does something absolutely touching in my heart, and I pray that it's will in yours as well. He delivered me because He delighted in me. He delivered me because He delighted in me. We know we are supposed to delight ourselves in the Lord. But I hope you know, brothers and sisters, God delights in you. If you have tasted of the Lord's goodness, the reason God delivered you and allowed you to taste His goodness is because He has great delight in your life. He loves you. He is not a harsh God. He is not a demanding God that's saying, if you don't have it all the way right now, you're not worth anything. And that is the spirit I felt like came out of me last night there at the end. And if you didn't hear it, I praise God. I know it was there. But He delivered me because He delighted in me. And He delights in you and He loves you. And verse 35 says, Thou hast also given me the shield of Thy salvation. The shield of Thy salvation. He wants to guard us and cover over us like a father would guard his children. He's given us the shield of His salvation to protect us from the enemy, to protect us from the onslaught of this world, to protect us even from the lust of our own flesh and the vileness of our own mind. He's given us His salvation as a shield. And as some of you have shared your struggles and the battles you're going through, God delights in you and He wants to stick before you the shield of His great salvation. And He will cover you under the shadow of His wings. It is His desire in His heart. We must believe in the goodness of God and His kindness toward us. But the last part of this verse says, And Thy right hand hath holden me up, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. This was the King David speaking, but I know this is my testimony. I would not have allowed me to stand in the pulpit ever again if you could have seen the conviction of God that was upon my heart. Last night, He woke me up at 12:30. I couldn't go back to sleep. The word that came to my mind as I woke up was, the arm of flesh can do a great deal when the power of the Almighty Spirit is reckoned to be as nothing. And I thought, Lord, what do I do with that? I wrote it down. I got up. My wife said, why are you getting up? And she knew how tired I was and how much I hadn't slept and how weak I was. And, And I said, I've got to get up and just write for a moment. And I wrote that down. I didn't know what it meant exactly. I didn't know what he was saying. But I knew when I left this place yesterday, there was a heaviness. And I knew the heaviness was not the Spirit of God. And I began to pray about it. And I said, Lord, if it's in me, if it's something I've done, God, if it's my heart, God, would you please show me? And I prayed and I prayed because I know we saw the nearness of God on Sunday. I know we did. And yet we left here yesterday with a heaviness. And I thought, Lord, what was it? And then, as I came home and I was praying with my dear bride, the conviction of God's Spirit came upon me so heavily that it was my arm of flesh that thought I had to somehow touch and make things happen, make the power of God come in. Somehow I could do it. And I said, oh God, forgive me. And I wept and I wept and I wept. And then a dear brother came over today. And I wept all over again and cried out to God for mercy. Because I had reached up and touched His glory. God was moving and God is moving in our midst. But He is the one who's worthy of glory. His gentleness alone will make us anyone. His gentleness alone will give us a place to stand in a large place. And that is my testimony today. God's gentleness and His kindness. He's so tender in His dealings with us. Please don't let you ever get away from that reality. Don't ever move from it. It is God's tenderness and gentleness that will make your character and your life what He wants it to be. He is much more patient than I am. He's much more long-suffering. The power of God can meet your every circumstance, and He will as you lay upon the altar, as you yield yourself upon the altar. But if you haven't gotten there all the way yet, God's gentleness will lead you step by step if you'll only set your heart on Him and say, God, that is where I want to get. And with that rich young ruler, he let him go. He didn't pressure him. He didn't demand him to make a decision right there. He let him go and he let him consider those things. And I ask you to forgive me for not allowing you to feel free to just let God work in your heart the grace of God. I believe the words are true, but I believe the spirit that I portrayed was wrong. But His gentleness and His kindness will bring us to that place if our affections and our desires are truly on the cross. And we say, God, whatever Your will is for my life, I'm Yours. But Lord, please guide me and help me. It is my desire to get there. But You know where I am, Lord. And God will, as we've heard testimony, lead us on to His full experience of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. He does want our body to be full of light. And He will lead us this way. I'd like to, for a message today, title the message, Our Gentle Shepherd. Our Gentle Shepherd. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 to 19, there's a scripture about one that was going to be sent to us. A Messiah. A prophet that was going to be sent to us. Moses had been preaching and leading the people of Israel. And this prophecy came in Deuteronomy 18 verse 15. Says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, Moses said, unto him you shall hearken. God's going to raise up a prophet right from among your brethren. And unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. You see, they had been there as God's presence came down and His voice spoke and the mountain trembled and the fire was visible. And they said, oh, let us not hear that voice anymore. It frightened them, the voice of God did, as they saw Him in His splendor and in His power there. And they said, let us not hear it anymore. It's too hard for us. And listen what God said about that. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And Jesus is revealed to be that prophet. Hey, if we hear his voice, we're going to die. The wages of sin is death. Is it not true? But God raised up a prophet from among the people of God, like unto them, born of a virgin, born in a manger. We know the story, how he condescended and came down. This prophet was like no other prophet the world had ever known. He was the very Son of God. And God sent him in the most humble way. And the Bible says he is God in human flesh, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And his name is Jesus. And that fiery voice that they heard from the mountain, now they see in the form of a man who is so gentle and meek, who is coming into this world to deal with the problem that they die not. You see, to see the face of God, we will die. Blessed are the pure in spirit, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus Christ can make us pure in heart so that we can see God. God who is glorious and holy and righteous and just and almighty wants us to see Him and not die. Isn't that amazing? They were right. Yes, this God, if they stand before Him, we deserve judgment. That word is true. But God raised up a prophet like unto them who shows us who God is and what His heart is. And God, in all of His mercy, sent His Son into this world to go to a cross for you and I, to suffer your death and my death. As He hung upon a tree, the debt we deserve for our failings to meet the righteous judgments of God, Jesus Christ bore them as He hung upon a cross in our place. Believers, this is an exciting message, is it not? If you don't know the Lord in this room, this is the most exciting and important message you can ever know. God wants to make you great by His gentleness too. He sent a very gentle and meek and lowly Savior into this world to save sinners, and to change our life, and to make us new, to make us to be partakers of His very holiness, the Bible says of His divine nature, to make us who were dead partakers of God's goodness and holiness in this earth, and forever in all eternity, to dwell with Him and Him with us. Is this not a gentle shepherd? In the book of Job, as the last of Job's counselors come to him, a man that I esteem to be just so beautiful in character and in life, Elihu comes to Job and he speaks differently than all of Job's miserable comforters. Job had went through a trial. So hard was his trial. He'd lost everything, even his own health, and his wife had told him to curse God and die. And his friends had all come bringing the harsh words of God. Some were so true, but they brought them in such harshness against him. And he said, you're all miserable comforters. But last of all, this man comes, and his name is Elihu. He was evidently younger than the rest. He waited until everybody else had spoken because he had such honor and respect for the others that he wanted to keep his mouth shut. And when he begins to speak to Job in all of his humiliation, you know, I was in humiliation today, if ever I have been. I have never wanted to violate God's word from the pulpit, and I knew that I had done it. If ever I was humiliated and deserved a harsh word from God, I received mercy after mercy after mercy. And here I stand before you this evening, standing in the pulpit again. It's only the mercy of God. And Elihu came and listened to what he says. Job 33, verses 6 and 7. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I'm coming to you, Job, in God's stead. This is a man saying, I'm coming to you, Job, in God's stead. Now how's he going to come? Didn't the other friend speak all those nice truths in such a harsh way to Job that he needed to hear? And some of them were true. Some of their accusations against him were true. But their spirit was wrong. We can speak the truth with the wrong heart. And how do we want to speak the way God would speak? This is how God comes to us too. I also am formed out of the clay, Elihu said. Behold, my terror, my dread, my fright shall not make thee afraid. It shall not overwhelm you. Neither shall my hand, my pressure and load and stroke be heavy and grievous and burdensome upon thee. That's what Elihu said. I'm coming in God's stead. I'm not going to be harsh with you. Why? Because God's not harsh with us. I don't want you to be afraid of me like I'm holier than you or I'm better than you. I'm coming in God's stead. I'm a man just like you, Job. And that's how Jesus came to us. He came as a man. And if ever there was a holy man, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone was holy. And He came to us as a friend. He was known as a friend to sinners and tax collectors. He came to them and they didn't feel afraid and intimidated by Him. They felt like somebody cared about them and had hope for their lives. This is Jesus, our gentle shepherd. He loves us. He said, I'm not going to put pressure on you. And you know, we often, believers, we put pressure on other people to fulfill what we think they should do, to conform. And that's where some of the fear of man comes from that we often hear of in our midst, is because we have put pressure on others, just like I did last evening, to conform, not trusting the Holy Spirit to graciously do the work. And oh God, give us a good rebuke in Your love and kindness that we not be guilty of pressuring people. God doesn't pressure us. God calls us, invites us, woos us with cords of love, commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He'd rather you turn and live than die in your sin. God is so good and so gentle. He doesn't put a heavy burden on us so hard to bear. He loves us and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Do you want rest for your soul? Lost people, do you want rest for your soul? The gentle shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying, come unto me, all you that labor. You're wearing yourself out. You're empty in your sin. You've had enough. You're sick of it. You're miserable. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, I'm meek. I'm kind and I'm lowly at heart. And my yoke that I'll put upon you, it's easy. And my burden that I'll put upon you, it's light. And His yoke means He's going to bear it right with us. You've seen yokes, right? On cattle and on horses out in the fields. You've seen yokes. You yoke things together. And He said, take my yoke upon you. I want to carry it with you. And it's an easy one. And it's a light one. God's desire for us is good. He's not a harsh God that's out demanding, oh, you better get right with me or I'm going to send you to hell. He's saying, come to me. I want you to have life. Hell is what you already deserve because you are living in sin and you're living a hell-bent life. You're serving Satan. I want you to come to me. He's a harsh daddy. He's wicked. Your heart will groan and ache under his burden. You'll never have a clear conscience because he'll lead you into sin and temptation and then condemn you for it after you've done it. He's harsh. His yoke is hard. But the Lord Jesus has an easy yoke and a light burden. And He is calling us to come unto Him and find this easy yoke and this light burden. This message is for the believer and for the unbeliever this evening. Are you wearing that light burden? Or is the Christian life a drudgery for you, a frustration? Are you wearing that light burden? Or are you walking in the vein of sin and finding yourself empty and miserable, a moment of pleasure followed by defeat and misery, by another moment of pleasure and defeat? He's calling to come and find a yoke that's easy and a burden that is light. This is God, our gentle shepherd, the Lord Jesus who wants us to find life and that in abundance. He didn't come to condemn the world. He that believes not is already condemned because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you don't believe, you're already condemned. He came into this world because we are condemned. All of us are condemned to die and face judgment because the wages of sin is death. And he said to Adam and to Eve, he said, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And did they die when they ate? Yes. They lost communion and intimate fellowship with God. God Himself had blown breath into the nostrils of Adam. God Himself had breathed His very life into him. And when they ate of that tree, instead of being one with God, when God came down delighting to see Him, they hid themselves from Him because they knew that they had sinned and that they were worthy of death. But that word saying, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. It says the day you eat of that tree as a sinner, dying, you will die is what it means. You're going to die dying. You're going to live your life on a life of decay and downward spiral into absolute death and the second death with His judgment. Your life isn't even going to be life. It's going to be a life of dying. Dying relationships, dying aspirations, dying dreams, dying plans, dying ideas for your life, dying health. That is what your life will be apart from God. But He sent His dear Son Jesus into this world so that we could have life and have it in abundance. Isn't He a wonderful shepherd? Isn't He a gentle shepherd? And do you remember Adam was there in the garden? They had strayed from God. They had left God. They had perfect holiness and happiness with God. Holiness, meaning they were one with God in heart, in lip, and in life. And happiness, meaning they had communion and intimacy and relationship with God. That's what happiness is. People, you search for happiness. Do you not know that happiness truly is an intimate walk with God? And it's what Jesus came into this world to give us, to make us one with the Father and with the Son. Many believers have never tasted the reality of oneness with the Father and the Son. And that is the message that has been preached these last days. Come and yield your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to have intimate oneness with Him. He's not talking about a new experience in your life. He's talking about the reality of salvation in its fullness in our lives. That is God's desire for us. And if you're lost, it's God's desire for you. He has no will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means we turn away from our sin and we agree with God that it's wicked and it's taking us down and it's killing us. And we turn around and we face God and we repent and say, have mercy upon me. I can't get free myself, Lord. You must deliver me. And God in His mercy delivers sinners and saves them and raises them up and makes them new creatures. Jesus is a gentle shepherd and He wants to pick you up. He loves to heal the wounded lambs. He loves to. Can you imagine a shepherd angry at his lamb for being wounded or broken? A lamb, can you imagine the shepherd saying, oh, that lamb got his leg caught in the fence. He shouldn't have strayed off. No, a shepherd loves it and tends to the lamb. That's what you're missing if you're lost. You're missing a shepherd that wants to bind up every wound. He wants to bind up all your wounds and He wants to heal all your diseases. He wants to cleanse you of every sin and He wants to cleanse you of your wandering so you don't get hurt and so that you don't die in your sin. This is our Jesus and He is a gentle shepherd. We have at home a little bitty duckling. We found it in its nest. Its mother wasn't around. I'm sure she'd have come back, but our children just so thought it was just so beautiful that we took it in and the thing had just hatched and it was still all just hardly looked like the thing could live. There was no mother around. It was cold, but like I said, she probably would have come back, but we took it in and we put it under a light and it began to fluff up and get beautiful. We began to feed it and oh, the children just have had the greatest delight. And our little boy today, this has been about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and our little boy Jeriah today, he was wanting to kiss this little duckling and somehow he tripped. And he tripped and he fell. And somehow he stepped on the duck's leg and it broke its leg. This little bitty fragile bone in this duck was broken. And you know what? Who could not grieve over such a sight? A perfect little baby duckling with a broken leg. It can't move anymore. Wouldn't it touch your heart? Touched every heart in our home. As I shaved its leg with my razor and tried to put a splint on it, it was broken real high and we splinted its leg and we pulled it up and we're taking it and giving it food and giving it water and we're doing everything we can to see that this little bitty duckling lives its life if it can and will be healed. Who could look at it and say, oh, the thing shouldn't have walked in front of the boy? That's not God. God is a gentle and loving shepherd. And He wants to bind up our wounds more than we could ever care for a little duckling or a lamb. Aren't you of more value than the sparrows in the sky? And there's not one of them that falls to the ground that He doesn't take notice of. He loves us and He cares for us. And He wants more than anything that we taste His life and His love and His goodness in its fullness. That's what He died for. To give us oneness with the Father and oneness with Him. And that oneness is experienced because He sent us His Holy Spirit to consume our lives and to draw us near to God. And He gave us through His blood access into the holiest place of all by the blood of Christ. That means we can dwell with God. That's God's desire for our lives, is that we live with Him and dwell with Him and enjoy communion with Him. And He will lead us every step of the way if we cast our lot in with Him and we lay our life down to Him. We proclaim Him King of our life and Lord of our life. He's not going to cast us off when we begin to stumble or trip. You don't have to measure up to Him to have Him accept you. You have to fall down on your face and acknowledge that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And He will help you every step of the way to crown Him Lord in your life. Every one of us that believes can know we failed God so many times. Is it not His tender mercies and His patience by which we're not consumed? If you're lost in this room, please forgive us if you've ever heard us proclaim a Jesus that's not this tender and loving and kind and merciful. His arms are wide open and He wants to take you in and He wants to change your life and He wants to make you new. He wants you to have life. He wants to save you from your independent spirit, from your selfish living, from your own priorities, from your own decisions that are bringing you further and further and further down. He wants to lift you up and save you and change your life so that you can have intimate reality with God. That's God's will for you. It's why He made us. I'd like us to consider here Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, His mercies are so wonderful. And Paul says to us, and you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. You, he's speaking to believers, He's saying to us believers, you, has He made alive who were dead in trespasses? That means violations of His law and His commandments and sins. That means your actions that are wicked and unlike Jesus Christ. Anything that you do with your life that isn't in order with God's character as you see it in Jesus is sin. Everything. That's why we've talked about the lack of compassion. It's a great sin. It's not just a struggle that we have. It's a sin. And God wants to change those things in our heart and life. But everything else, whether it's just personal defilement of the mind or the heart or the body, whatever else our sin is that we can't get free from, if it's anger, He wants to save us from that because He wasn't angry. He loves us and cares for us, and He will tenderly bring us there if we will believe that He is good, that He is who He is. He is a gentle shepherd. We must believe who He is. We can't believe He's a harsh daddy. We must believe who He is and that He is a good God and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you want to get set free, let the condemnation of the enemy come off of your life. God loves you and cares for you, and He's not smacking His hand down hard every time you fail. He is yearning for you, saying, I'm for you. I want to help you. If you'll only yield, I'll set you free. He's a good God. And He loves you, and if you believe Him, you must believe who He is. He's not just a harsh father. Sometimes we fathers have represented Him wrongly to our children. I have so many times. I realize it. I see it. We've represented God so wrongly to our children. I'm sure mothers, I've never been a mother, but I'm sure you feel the same way. But God's not like us. He said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? We are evil fathers and mothers compared to the way God is, are we not? But He's a good daddy and He loves us and wants to make us like Him. And fathers and mothers, where you see your evil, yes, cry out to God, give me the Holy Ghost you've promised, and the Holy Ghost will help me to overcome this problem in my life. He wants us to experience His fullness and His presence. And if you're lost, He wants to save your soul and change you and make you new. And He can do it and He will do it if you'll only believe. You who are dead, dead in sin and trespasses, has He made alive where in time past you walked. You were dead, but you walk around. You talk. You breathe. You put on your clothes in the morning and you put on your pajamas at night and you go to work or you play and you do your school. But the Bible says you're dead. Dead in sin and trespasses in which you walked. You're a walking dead man according to God if you have not found the reality of the love of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is life. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. If you want to find the way, you cannot find it apart from Him because He is the only way. If you want to know what the truth is, it's nothing else in this world but what you see in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. The truth about our lives isn't that we're absolute failures. The truth about our lives is that there is hope for us in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation in the Spirit of God as we walk with Him. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And that means there's hope for every one of us to experience His saving knowledge and His salvation in its fullest. So there's hope for you. Just like there's hope for me and hope for the others in here, there's hope in Christ. Turn to Him. Like to go down, and He says after this, after we've lived such a wicked life, He says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin and trespasses, hath quickened us together with Christ. We were dead, we were wicked, lost sinners, And He made us alive together with Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the grave. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is the power that causes us to live. Is this not a power that's able to overcome all of your trials and all of your struggles? It raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. That's the power of God that He said makes us alive with Him. Let us believe Him. Let us believe that this power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very power that will help me to overcome all of my unlikenesses of Jesus Christ in my life. And it's the power that will change my life and make me a new creature in Him. We can be new in Christ. We can have our life changed, not by our own strength or our own works. He says right there, by grace are you saved. That means it's a gift. It's nothing you'll ever measure up to. It's nothing you have to put on the right clothes to figure out if you can have it or not. It's something that you fall on your face and say, God, I'm lost and I need You. And as a believer, you fall on your face and say, Lord, I've failed. Don't try to clean yourself up. Don't try to handle it in your own self. Don't try to take care of all your sin and fix it up. Fall on your face and say, Lord Jesus, I'm failing, I'm struggling. And the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise you up too. Amen. He wants us to live in Him. Life is Jesus Christ. And eternal life is Jesus Christ in knowing Him. Salvation is Jesus Christ. If we don't have Jesus Christ, that gentle shepherd, we have not life. And the Bible says the wrath of God abides on us, but the very God that says we're worthy of wrath sent His Son as a shepherd to win us back and save us from the snare of the devil and make us new and make us alive in Christ. He is a gentle shepherd. He has the answer to every trial, every struggle that you're having, believer. And He has the answer for your life and the only answer for your life if you're lost in this room. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of Jesus Christ's grace. That's what that means. Today is the day where Jesus Christ has availed Himself to you. If you will only bow down on your face and accept Him as Lord, He will save your soul. He will change your life. He will give you victory over your besetting sin. But if you come to God, you must believe He is the gentle shepherd. And He loves you. And He has power to do anything that you need. The message I preached yesterday of how hard it is for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, I wish I would have titled it instead, "With God all things are possible." What's impossible with man is possible with God. Yes, it's hard, but the power of God can overcome every obstacle in your life. Let us learn to trust Him and believe Him and not be afraid of Him. Let us learn to be like the sinners and the tax collectors were with Jesus, who saw Him as such a friendly person, such a kind person that really cared about them. And many of them were saved and changed by the power of God and became His witnesses in this world, including myself and including many of you. Isn't He a good shepherd? And He not only quickened us by the power of God, He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together with God and with Christ in heavenly places. If you're lost, this is what you're missing. The reality of sitting in heavenly places above this sinful world and abiding with God and with Christ. That is salvation. Church, that's salvation. It's abiding in Christ. It's living in Him and enjoying Him and having fellowship and intimate life in Him. That is salvation. It's not just forgiveness of our sins. It's power to live and to live above this wicked world. That's what you need if you're struggling in sin, to be raised with Him to heavenly places and live above this world in sin. And He'll give you power to overcome every trial. And He'll lead you so graciously every step of the way. And when you stumble and fall, He'll lift you back up. And if you break your leg, He will do a better job at splinting it than I did. And I don't believe He'll even splint it. I believe He'll touch it and heal it and make you whole. He's such a good shepherd. Listen to why He does all of this. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. Why does He do this for you? Why does He want to do this for you? So that in all the ages to come, as people see you in the courts of heaven, dwelling and abiding with God for all eternity, He'll be able to show the exceeding riches of His grace. But also in this world, as people hear about your life and how you used to be an empty sinner, and God raised you up and saved you, and He'll be able to say, oh, how could God save one like Him? Isn't He gracious and patient? He's so tender, so merciful. Maybe there's hope for me too. He saves us so that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, His graciousness, His favor, His loveliness, His sweetness. That's what He wants to show the world He is through saving your life. He's lovely. The Bible declares that God is altogether lovely. He wants to show His loveliness in your life. But not only that, in His kindness, His gentleness towards you. So believers, if you feel like you leave with a heavy burden, like you just keep failing, God's saying He wants to show the world how gentle He is by showing how He deals with you. Paul had a thorn in his flesh he asked God time after time to remove, and the Lord didn't remove it from him because He wanted Paul not to glory above measure, be exalted above measure, and He left this thorn in his flesh so that Paul would be able to glory in his infirmities and in his weakness so that the power of Christ could rest upon him. God is a gentle God. He wants you to never lose that reality in your life. He wants you to know how kind He is, and He wants the world around to see that He's a good and loving and gracious God. He is altogether lovely. There is no darkness in Him. He is love, and He that abides in love. You want love? Abide in love. That means you're abiding in God because God is love. If you don't want God, you really don't want love because God is perfect love. Amen. And love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Toward us through Christ Jesus. God extends this grace and favor and love toward us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, David said, Thy gentleness hath made me great. Isn't He a good shepherd? Sinner, why are you afraid to come to Him? Are you afraid you won't measure up to His standard? I've heard that from some. They're afraid they just won't be able to live the Christian life. They're afraid they won't measure up. Maybe you've heard too many of us put a pressure upon you that makes you think you can never measure up. You're too inadequate. You can't make it. The reality is that God can save you and change you and make you new. And He will enable you to live a life for Him. And when you fail, He'll lift you up and care for you and nurture you like a shepherd does a little baby lamb. He will deal with you good. You're not missing anything but His love. You're not missing anything but life, and that in abundance. Verse 8, For by grace are you saved. By a free, unmerited gift are you saved. Why should you think you're going to finish the course in your own strength if it's only His free, unmerited gift that saved you in the first place? Let's walk the Christian life by God's grace. It's the only way we can. It's the only way I'm standing in the pulpit here today, brothers and sisters. It's by God's grace. It is His gentleness and His kindness towards us. Through faith, you must believe that this is who He is. You must believe He really is a good God that loves you, and He's altogether lovely and He cares about you. You must believe He's the one who died on a cross and spread out His arms and bled and died for you because He loves you so much. And He was raised from the grave with all the power of God, and He wants to raise you with Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He wants to save your soul and change your life. And believer, He wants to make you just like Jesus Christ. And He wants to raise us up to dwell with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not of yourselves. It's time to stop trying in yourselves, believers, to live out the Christian life. It's not of yourselves. You can't do it yourself. You'll fail every time. It is the gift of God, and you must believe He's a giver of good gifts. He's a rewarder. You can't do it yourself, and we need a gift of grace so that we can live out this life for Christ. It's time to come back to grace and stop trying to merit it by works and come and get on your face before God and say, God, I need your grace in my life. You see, grace is the same thing we talked about as the light that fills the whole body. It's the same thing we spoke of as the fire of God that consumes the heart. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. It's the power of God. All these are the same thing. We make up doctrines that make these things some different episode, but the reality is it's the grace and power of God upon our lives that consumes us. It's the presence of Jesus Christ and His Spirit that will change us and make us new. It's not of works. You can't do it on your own. If you try to come by works, you cannot have this salvation. You can't have this Jesus. It's only by grace. And what's that mean? There's no reason for us to boast, is there? There's no reason for me to boast over a lost person who's still living in their sin as if they're something less than me. Because all I have was a free gift from God I never deserved. Forgive us if you're lost in this room and you felt scorned and looked down upon by believers and felt like you just didn't measure up and you weren't going to be able to do it right. Forgive us, brothers and sisters, if you felt that way, like you could never measure up or you weren't as good as this brother or this sister. There's nobody here that's a lower sinner than I. A bigger failure in the eyes of God than the man that you see before you right now. If ever I saw it today. There's nothing better about any one of us than any other person but the grace of God and the goodness of God that He's rested upon our lives. Are you ready to come back to His grace tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray You take this short message, Father, and I pray, Lord, that You touch the hearts of each person in this room, God. I pray, Father, those who are having battles in the Christian life, struggling to try to do it and failing and finding themselves frustrated, even feeling You're frustrated at them, O God, I pray You'd set them free and allow them to see, Lord, that it is the grace of God that has power to change them and make them new. I pray, Lord, for every lost person in this room, I pray, God, that You'd open their ears to hear the reality that You are the Good Shepherd and You want to save them and You won't leave them when they fail. You won't look down upon them with scorn and ridicule and scold them. You will lovingly care for them and speak into them words of life to make them new and build them up in a holy faith. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would give freedom from everyone who's been oppressed, Lord, and that You will release the heavy bondages, God, and that You would call believers and unbelievers to Yourself to take Your yoke upon them, Lord, for You are meek and lowly of heart, and Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. So, Lord, would You make the realities of the gospel real to every one of us, Father, and may we respond to You, Lord, that You might truly fill us with all the power of God that brings salvation, that we might live the life of Christ in this world, and we might have fellowship with You, God, I do pray. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name. Can we have an invitation, brother? Can we all rise, please? I encourage us to respond to the Lord. And hear the Lord. Brother, do you have a song that we can sing? Let's take our time and come to the Lord. The invitation's open for believer and unbeliever alike. It's time to trust this good and gentle shepherd if you've strayed away from Him. Seek His face and seek His favor. He will save you. He will change you. Don't let anyone else distract you from this right now. Listen to the voice of God. He's speaking to you and He wants to save your soul and He will change your life. Don't let anybody else distract you tonight. Turn your heart to God and get on your face and cry out to Him. He will show you abundant pardon. Pour your life out, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray You'd break every distraction, Lord. I pray that sinners would be able to be set free tonight, Father. I pray, Lord, that You'd rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name and, Lord, that You would set sinners free tonight, God. Don't let a sinner leave this place not having tasted the goodness of the gentle shepherd, Lord. If there be any way, God, that it's possible, and we know with You all things are possible. So save souls tonight, Lord. Release captives, Father, and lift us up from our graves that we might walk in newness of life with You, Lord Jesus, and live a victorious, abundant Christian life, Father, with the Father and the Son. Oh, God, we bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. Come, sinner, come. Come and get on your face and cry out to God and He will abundantly pardon. Can we sing?
Number 899.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the He's watching and waiting, waiting for you and for me. should we tarry when Jesus is pleading?
For you stand or turn to Him with all your heart, with weeping He'll receive you and wash you. Find life tonight, in Jesus' name we pray.
Why should we linger?
Thank God for His Word tonight and His gracious Spirit working in our midst. And so appreciated just the message on the tender shepherd. Amen. Yeah, there's no pressure for you to respond tonight. But the altar is open for those who want to. Hallelujah. It's those who want to come to that tender shepherd and find freedom and deliverance. I thought of something as my heart went out to the sister who testified about a struggle with anger. And I don't want to distract from the message at all, but I felt like maybe God would have me share this. And this is something that pertains to all of us that are struggling with any area of sin in our life as a Christian. I was pondering how that I thought about thank God for my wife. I cannot remember my wife ever being angry. I can't remember one time. And I thought about that and I thought, I wonder why. I wonder what's the difference? Why? But I know that she has taken after her mother. Something was passed down from her mother to her that she was able to walk out even before she was converted. I never knew her. Never. I can't remember one time. And I thought about that and I began to think, okay, and here's one of the secrets of the Christian life. If there's an area that I'm struggling in, it's because there is still a connection. Somewhere there's still a connection to sin. Either it's my own personal sin, or maybe it's the connection to my mother or my father. But this is what Jesus came to do for us. He came and died and rose again to give us new life. And He came and through His death, through the death of Jesus, I have the ability to die to all my old sin nature. In Jesus, by faith, I die to sin. I die to sin. I die to the connections of sin in my life. I die to any connection that Satan would have in my life. And what that does is when I enter into that by faith, it breaks that connection of sin in my life. Isn't that right? That's what it means to enter into the death of Christ. I have died with Him. And therefore I become a partaker of His death, of His burial, and His resurrection and His ascension. And as I become a partaker, when I through faith recognize that He died, and by His death the power of sin is broken by faith, then the newness of life flows into me as I, by faith, if I have died with Him, I shall also be like Him in the resurrection. Does that make any sense? This is the possibility. And when I put off the old man with his deeds, amen, by faith in the finished work of Christ and in that salvation we heard about, then I put on the new man, and then the power flows from Jesus Christ into my life, and that's my connection. And you know what? If I'm connected to that, I'll be like Him. This is possible. This is the reality of the salvation that Jesus came to give. Are you with me? It's possible. Let's sing two more verses, brother.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing for you and for me.
Is there anyone who is still struggling with sin? For your word tonight, and thank you for your sweet, tender, gentle shepherd heart towards us. Thank you, Lord, for working in our midst. We thank you for speaking to us. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver each one who has responded tonight. And Lord, do not pass us by, but continue to draw us ever near to you. Thank you, Father, we ask your blessing as we part from this tonight. Keep us in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, you're dismissed. And those who have responded, we would like to counsel with you tonight. If you want to make your way to the basement, and open up your hearts there, and we'll have someone meet you down there.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.